Luke chapter 6, verse 27, beginning. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the one cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Continuing, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. The Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Amen. You may be seated. I'll ask John Rich to come and pray over the Word this morning.
Father, we come before You humbly this morning, remembering a lot. But we remember Jesus and His ultimate sacrifice for us. Sin left a crimson stain that He washed white as snow. We no way deserved. Let Your words flow from Pastor Tom this morning, Lord. And let there be a heart ready to receive it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's a good opportunity to express my appreciation for our elders and leadership of this church. We appreciate them very, very much. I appreciate their support and covering for me. Amen. If you haven't turned to Luke chapter 6, I invite you to do so now. And in the bulletin as well is an outline that will follow along with the message, if you find that helpful. And then we'll follow along with the PowerPoint presentation as well. So we're looking at Luke chapter 6, and I thought that it would be very fitting. Actually, the Lord gave me this message 3 weeks ago, and then Christoph was slated to preach. I was preparing for the following week. We didn't have church, so Christoph preached the next week. So this thing's been stewing on the back burner for about 3 weeks. And I thought it very fitting the Lord allowed it to come on this Sunday when we are remembering the tragic and horrible events of 9/11. So when we talk about acting like God and loving your enemies, how fitting that we focus on that and remember that today. I realize that the remembrance of 9/11 and those horrible events could stir up a lot of anger in many. Especially as you see all the ridiculous wrangling and nonsense going on about the remembrances and, you know, not allowing prayer and not allowing religious leaders and all the ridiculous justification for that. And, you know, just as a side note, if we keep pushing God out of everything, then pretty soon He'll leave us to ourselves in everything. And that will be the end of this country. So this is just a little side note. As Christians who are citizens of this country, we still have to be good citizens. We have to vote. We have to make our voice known. We have to participate in the process, as aggravating and frustrating And sometimes gridlock and deadlock the process is. We still have to participate. And so as we look at this passage this morning, how fitting that we talk about these words of Jesus who calls us to love. Calls us to love. The main point of this passage here in Luke is this: the heart of Jesus' teaching is that we are to love like God loves. We are to love like God's like God loves. Because God has been merciful and kind to all. He's being merciful and kind to all of us, including us. He's been merciful and kind to everyone. And therefore, we are to be merciful and kind. We are to love like God loves. Now, let me just say at the start that this is an impossible task, an impossible attitude to do in our own strength. This is not something you can just go out and decide, oh yes, I'm going to go love as God has loved. I'm going to do it. No, you won't. Our human nature is set against that. Our human nature is, as Jesus points out, is to, no, not love our enemies, but to exact revenge on our enemies. Now, by the way, this message is not about national justice. That's not what this message is about. National justice and dealing with criminals, dealing with terrorists, is a separate issue. I'm talking about the attitude and the response of our hearts individually and as a body of Christ of our enemies. And Jesus calls us, rather than retribution, rather than justice, He calls us to love, to mercy, to kindness. This isn't the only place, of course, in the Bible that we're called to this. It's over and over again. Another passage that is very familiar to us is 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 12. I'd like Dave Kofelt to read that for us. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12 will be on the screen as well.
Okay, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus...
Wrong John here.
First John? Oh, I'm sorry.
And so we see throughout Scripture the call to love. God is love. And therefore, as we are called to be His children, called to be His people, we are to reflect our Father and we are to love first one another. And then Jesus goes even further. Much more difficult, to love our enemies. Love those who hate you. Do good to them. Now, let me talk just for a moment about this word and this concept love. We have talked about it before. But He's not talking about a feeling here. In order to love somebody, it does not necessarily mean that I feel good towards them. In fact, you know, my wife, and I can pick on her because she left the service. I think she's probably checking on Children's Church or something. But I can pick on her now. But you know, my wife and I, we love one another. But there's times we may not feel that way towards one another. There may be times we feel angry towards each other. There may be times when we say angry things that we shouldn't. And we don't have fights anymore. I've told you that, right? We don't have fights. We just have intense fellowship. See, after 27 years of marriage, you finally learn, you know, not to fight. You just have that intense fellowship. And usually ends up with, you're right, dear. You're right. But this word love, the word love here being used is the word agape. right? And we know in the Scripture that the word agape is reflecting and meaning the highest form of love. It is not a feeling. It is not merely an emotional feeling, but rather an unconditional commitment to one's good. That's why God could say that He loved the Israelites, but there were times He was very angry with them. And there was times that He chastised and punished them. There was times when He expressed His anger towards the Israelites. It's the same way with us as parents, right? We love our children, but there's times we want to wring their neck. There's times that we want to beat them. They make you angry. Isn't it funny how children know how to push their parents' hot buttons? Those of you who have children who are now grown and have grandchildren, boy, you know how to get even, don't you? You take their kids, you fill them up with sugar, you spoil them to death, and then you send them back home. They deal with it. But this is the love that God is talking about here. Not talking about an emotional feeling that we would have towards one another. Listen, everybody has warm fuzzies, right? Even unbelievers, those who do not believe in Christ, they get warm emotional feelings towards others. But that's not what the kind of love He's talking about here. No, it's talking about an unconditional commitment to one's good. The kind of commitment that God has had towards us. He's had an unconditional commitment of good for us. Let me explain. God did not send His Son for you and for me because we were good or because we made God feel good. Did He? It was just the opposite, in fact. God sent His Son because there was a problem. There was an issue. It's called sin. It's called shortcoming. We have all fallen short of the glory, the standard of God. We've all broken His commands, and we all deserve death and hell, separation from God. And so it wasn't on the basis of God feeling good that He sent His Son. He didn't look out over the human race and say, oh, boy, they're just such a good group of guys and girls. No. In fact, early on, Genesis chapter 6, it says that God is grieved in His heart that He had created mankind. So much so that He says, I'm going to wipe them from the face of the earth. And there was only Noah and his family that were preserved. And God was grieved. But even with being grieved, God so loved the world, John tells us, chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world, the whole world of people. It doesn't just say God so loved believers. God so loved just His special people, the Israelites. God so loved the whole world of crummy, rotten, stinking sinners that He sent His one and only Son. Watch this. God sent His Son for those who He knew would reject Him and reject His Son. We're told in Peter that the Lord died for those, He bought those who rejected Him. In other words, His sacrifice was sufficient for all, although it's only received by some, those who repent and receive Jesus Christ. And so this same love that God has for us is the kind of love that we are called to have for one another and for our enemies, those who persecute us, those who hate us. Let's try to break it down. By the way, it's very interesting. A little bit later in John, or actually a little bit earlier in 1 John, it says, chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "Don't let us not love with words or in tongue, but let us love with actions and in truth." So again, love is more than just words. It's a commitment, as I said, an unconditional commitment to one's good. Let's try to break it down in a few minutes that we have together. Number one, we have to establish the fact that it's very clear here, Jesus makes it clear that God is merciful and kind to all, even the ungrateful and the wicked. God is merciful and kind to all, even the ungrateful and the wicked. We read in verses 35 and 36. Actually, it's just part of verse 36. "Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked." He is kind to them. How is that? What does that look like? Well, Matthew 5 is a parallel passage to this passage in Luke. Matthew 5, 44 through 45. Ron Walters is going to read that verse for us, and that explains it a little more.
That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous.
Thank you. So, you know, God allows this earth to have its rain, its sun, its seasons. He allows food to grow. He allows people to exist because He is kind and merciful. I've used the ant illustration before. And it's funny because just the other day I was sitting on the steps, and you know, we've had all this rain, and the ants keep trying to come in the house. And I'm sitting on the steps outside of my house, and these little ants, they're all over the place, and a couple of them got on me. You know, and I see them down there like, smack 10 things. Aren't we like that with God? I mean, we up there, we're pinching God, you know? We often do that. We you know, God, what's up with this? Why are you doing that, God? Why are you doing this? You know, we're pinching God. And He does not smush us like those little ants. I mean, wouldn't it be funny if you took in the magnifying glass and you put down and looked at that little ant, and that little ant was going to you? What would you do? You'd be like, squish that little ant. How dare you? And that's the way we're with God. And that's where many people today are with God. Oh, God. First of all, He doesn't exist. And if He does exist, I don't really care. I mean, that's the way people are today. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. And God, in His mercy and His grace, He allows this good earth to continue to bless them with rain and sun and growing food and all the benefits. In fact, we're told in Colossians 1 that all things exist. They're sustained by His powerful word, we're told. And so God has been merciful to even the ungrateful. Lamentations 3:22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. God has compassion on all of us, those of us who are forgiven, who've come to Christ, and those who have not. And we exist because of His love. And so, we have to lay that out first as the foundation. This is what God is like. Therefore, number two, we are to love our enemies. First of all, we've dealt with loving one another. We've preached about that and we've talked about it. So we have to love one another. But Jesus says here, we are to love our enemies. We are to do good to those who hate us, even lend freely to them, bless and pray for those who curse and mistreat us. Wow. Man. I mean, really? I mean, that's impossible. That's impossible. I mean, think about those that have committed these terrorist acts and continue to do so, and they hate us. They hate Christians just because we are Christians. We read each week in the persecuted church section of the prayer segment, you know, that there are so many Christians that are being persecuted just because they are Christians. We know that Sudan has now divided into two countries, right? If you've kept up with the latest on that, they're now Northern Sudan and Southern Sudan. And you see, what has happened is Northern Sudan has been primarily Muslim, mostly Muslim. And it's a Muslim government. And they have been persecuting Christians for decades. And most of the Christians have fled south. Here's one of the things that Muslims did to Christians. They surrounded a church that was in service, in progress. They locked the doors and they locked everybody in the church. They bolted them in, stood guard at the windows, and they set the church on fire. And they killed literally dozens of Christians and burned the church down. And God, you're telling us to love these people? You're telling us to do good to them? Really? And God says, really, that you may be sons and daughters of the Most High. Humanly impossible. Impossible in our own strength. Impossible in our own flesh. God, I don't want to love them. I want vengeance. I want retribution. I want to lash out. But Jesus has given us an example, didn't he? Jesus, who had every right as God's Son on this earth, had every right to have the submission of everybody. He got nothing but rejection, persecution, torture, brutal treatment, and then crucifixion. So 1 Peter 2, verses 23-24, is his attitude towards those. And Christoph Koning will read that for us.
When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. He himself... Where are we going?
Go back to 23, please. There we go.
All right. When they hurled the insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed.
Keep that verse there for just a minute. Keep that verse up there, if you would, please, Josh. Josh is being trained up there on that, so sorry for the little bit of glitches. But how are we then to live? If Jesus did the ultimate sacrifice, he bore our sins upon himself on the tree. Your sin and my sin, he bore it upon himself bodily, we're told in Colossians. He bore those sins bodily. All the weight, all the guilt of sin was upon him on that tree. And this is why Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because the Father turned his face away as Jesus bore that sin for us. Therefore, that we might die to sins, the word sin means to miss the mark, and live for righteousness. We are no longer to live for our sinful fleshly urgings, fleshly desires, but rather we are to live for the righteousness of God. Therein is the difference. God is not asking you to live out of your flesh the command and calling to love one another. No, he's asking you to live out of the righteousness that comes through Christ. Now, you can't do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why you have to know Jesus. That's why you have to be forgiven, so that you can have power in your life to overcome and live and love like this. Jesus loved them by giving his life. I don't know about you, but in my flesh, I don't know if I would give myself for someone who I know was going to take that and reject it and abuse it, take advantage of it, because that's something we all do, isn't it? Even Christians, we take advantage of God's grace. You know, I've seen that bumper sticker. It says, Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. That's true, but don't let it be a cop-out for living an unholy life or for justifying sinful behavior. You know, we understand, we're all in process, we're all a work in progress. But let's not use that as a facade for not living right. And number three, then, when we live this way, and this is the reason that we are called to live this way, our future reward will be great, and we will show ourselves to be sons and daughters of God Most High. The reason that God wants us to love our enemies, and we'll get into that a little bit more specifically here in just a minute, is because he wants you and me to represent him correctly. Isn't it interesting that, you know, God pretty much gets a bad rap? I mean, when people talk about God, it's like, well, how does God love us? I mean, look at all the terrible things in the world. How can God say he loves us when there's hurricanes and there's tornadoes and there's earthquakes and there's wars and there's terrorist acts? I mean, we know even just last night in Afghanistan, there was a horrible truck bombing where almost 80 soldiers were wounded. One little 3-year-old girl, a civilian, was killed. God, how can you be loving when you allow things like that? Well, again, it goes back to who God is and who we are. God, we're not robots, and God doesn't, you know, direct each one of us, push a button, and we do this, and push that button, and He does that. No, we choose. We choose the things that we do, and there are those that choose to do evil. And we live in a fallen world. But in the midst of that, there is mercy, and there is grace. That's how God has loved us. But now, God wants it to be shown even more than that. God wants you and me to show His love to those who don't deserve it. God wants you and me to show His love to those who are enemies. To show mercy and be good and kind to those who hate us, who persecute us, who speak all manner of evil against us. When Park Slott and I went down on the caravan quest, and we went down to Virginia, we had to wait a period of time there before we could pick up the vehicle. So we went into a pizza shop. It was my choice. Somehow or another, my radar went up and I saw that pizza shop off the road there. Made a beeline for that pizza shop. But we had a very interesting man who owned that pizza shop. And we went in and we ordered the pizza, and this gentleman was a very, very interesting fella. And he had an accent, and we couldn't quite pick up what accent that was. And he had up on the wall, there was some Catholic symbols, you know, the Mother Mary and that kind of thing. And so obviously this man is Catholic. I thought he was Italian. You have a pizza shop, and you know, a Catholic is like, Menage, hey, you know, Faison. So anyway, I thought maybe he was Italian. So later on I asked him, I said, so are you, oh, let me back up. Another fella came in while we were eating, and they started talking back and forth. And it didn't really sound like Italian, because I'm a little bit familiar with Italian. But anyway, they were talking in a foreign language. So after a few minutes I asked, and I said, so are you Italian? He goes, oh, no. Oh, no. He goes, I'm Palestinian. First Palestinian I've ever met. And I said, so you're Palestinian and you're a Christian? He said, yes. He said, in fact, I went to school at a Mennonite school in Israel, in Jerusalem. The Mennonites have a Christian school for children there in Jerusalem. I don't know much about Jerusalem. So anyway, he went on to say, you know, his words were this. He said, Jesus said, love your enemies. He said, so if you smack me on one side, he said, smack me on this side and keep on smacking me. You know, I knew he knew what we were thinking. The thinking was, okay, if you're a Palestinian and a Christian, how are you justifying this terrible, terrible conflict that's going on between the Palestinians and the Israelites, the Jewish people, constantly? He already picked up on it. He said, if Jesus taught us to love our enemies, and if you smack me on one side of my face, he said, I'm going to turn the other side, say, smack me, and keep on smacking me. Now, it's easy to say, isn't it? That's easy to say that. But do we do that? Corrie Ten Boom was a Christian that lived under the Nazi regime in Germany. And Corrie Ten Boom is famous in the book and then what became a movie called The Hiding Place. And she hid Jewish people in her home. They made a false room behind some bookshelves, and they hid a number of Jewish people. If you've never read the book, if you've never seen the movie, I challenge you and urge you to see it, The Hiding Place. Well, eventually she was caught. And she was imprisoned along with Jews because she hid them. And she worked to deceive the Nazis. And while she was in there, she received brutal treatment. Her sister went into prison along with her. And because of the brutality and the disease in the camp, her sister died. And she has such anger and hatred of the Nazis, the soldiers, the guards, because of this brutal treatment. But she was a Christian, and she knew what God was calling her to. And so she was called to love, and so she tried her best to love. Here's the ultimate test. Years later, when she was speaking to an audience, She dismissed it after it was done, and a man came forward and stood there waiting to speak with her. And when she was done talking, she went over to this man and ready to speak to him, and he said to her, "Ms. Ten Boom," she said, "I was the guard at that concentration camp. I was the guard that was mostly responsible for your sister's death. And I'm here asking for you to forgive me." Wow. Can you imagine? And of course, being filled with the Spirit, she wrapped her arms around him and said, "Yes, I forgive you." But you know what? God calls us to forgive such a one even before they ask. Can we have that kind of heart and attitude towards those who do this? How do we show it? We have to do what is humanly impossible. You see, because Jesus makes it clear that if you do only what even unbelievers, sinners do around you, they love those who love them. They lend to those from whom they expect repayment. He says, if you do nothing more than what they do, of what credit is that to you? In other words, it's just seen as natural affection, natural commitment. We have to show what is humanly impossible by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to show ourselves sons and daughters of the Most High God when we act out of love for those who hate us, persecute us, mistreat us. And so, this week, as you interact with people, and I'm sure there'll be lots of conversations about Muslim terrorists, we're not only called to love Muslims, but we're called to love Muslim terrorists. And as you hear conversations, will you be drawn in to the hate crowd? Will you allow yourself to get into those conversations of how we should kill them and the retribution on them? Or will you show yourself the son and daughter of the Most High? When this week, as you're doing that, as you're seeking to do that, and people call you an idiot, when they call you a Jesus freak because you're trying somehow to let the love of Christ flow through your life, how will you respond to them? When people this week just mistreat you for no reason, when you're passed over for a promotion and you know it's because you belong to Jesus, when things go wrong and that coworker or that person that knows you and they point that out to you and they say, "Where is your God? I thought your God was good." How will you respond? What will you do with the anger that comes into our heart when we're mistreated and spoken evil of simply because we love Jesus? I challenge you to take the words of Jesus here and let the Holy Spirit work them into your heart and say, "Lord, I cannot in my own strength love my enemy. But through the power of the Spirit, who I surrender to daily, I can live out this love, Lord. I commit myself to it." See, you've got to do it now. You can't wait until the incident or the opportunity, the situation happens, because in the heat of that moment, you will probably not respond in love. If you're anything like me, if I've not thought about it beforehand, you know, I'm going to react, and typically my reactions are not good. You've got to nail it down now, today, right now, at the altar that the Lord has set before us this morning. Let's pray. Lord, this is a hard calling that you put out for us. And Lord, let us to seriously consider this, not just walk away and think that this is just another message. And Lord, you're calling us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You're calling us to be like Jesus in this sinful, hateful, hurtful world. So Lord, fill us with the Spirit Fill us with the power, this supernatural power, to live different than our flesh wants to. Because, Lord, we want to be sons and daughters of the Most High. Lord, on that day, when you return or you call us home, we want to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. So, Lord, work this in us. Prepare us today and the rest of this week, the rest of our lives, to have a heart filled with the brokenness and the love of Christ. We pray it in His precious and holy name. And all the people of God said, Amen. Amen. As we're standing dismissed this morning, if you need prayer for any reason, if there's a situation you're facing and you need us to pray with you, we'd love to. If you want to be anointed and prayed for physical healing, please come forward. The elders will anoint you. Let's stand together and be blessed and receive the benediction. And now, Lord God, the God of grace and mercy, may You shine this mercy upon us. May it overflow in our lives. May we go forth from this place different because we have been with Jesus. We pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. God bless you all.